What do we mean by a kind-hearted attitude? We mean an attitude which wishes to benefit others, altruism, which is expressed in acting to eliminate others' suffering, acting to free others from their suffering, a sense of caring. And this kind-hearted attitude also extends to other sentient beings, in that all sentient beings want happiness. And so considering those sentient beings who are without happiness and developing the attitude, may they have happiness, which is love. So these two attitudes of compassion and love constitute a kind-hearted attitude. And if, based simply upon the fact that if sentient beings have no suffering, then they're extremely happy. If they have suffering, then they're not happy. And wishing to free them from that happiness, free them from that suffering, and to see them happy. And also this kind-hearted attitude has the component of wanting others to be happy, in the sense that when beings aren't happy, then they're experiencing great difficulties. So developing the wish that may they be happy. So just as in the case of ourselves, when we have some dissatisfaction, we think, I don't want this difficulty, I wish I was happy. And this is naturally the way we think in such a situation. And just as we ourselves don't like to suffer, that we like to be happy. Likewise, other sentient beings like to be happy. They don't want to suffer. So wishing the same for themselves, for others, as we would for ourselves, is a beneficial attitude or altruism. But by a kind-hearted attitude, we do not mean merely wishing oneself happiness and to be free from suffering, but to include others, that may others be free from suffering and have happiness. This is a kind-hearted attitude.
What
So anyway, we're constantly considering how to eliminate our suffering, how to free us from our suffering and find happiness. When we're hungry, then we think about some method to eliminate the suffering of hunger. If we're hot, then we think about how, you know, about the way that we can get rid of the uncomfortableness of being hot. If we don't like staying here, then we think about how going somewhere else. So we're always considering methods to alleviate our temporal difficulties. So as human beings, we have an intellect and we have intelligence, and by means of those, we can work. We can consider how to go about establishing the happiness that we want, eliminating the suffering that we don't. But we simply do not consider to eliminate our own suffering or to bring ourselves happiness alone. But we extend this to all sentient beings, the desire to eliminate all the suffering of all sentient beings and to establish all sentient beings in happiness. This is a kind-hearted intention or attitude, and it's extremely beneficial and extremely powerful. So how are we to proceed in meditating on this kind-hearted attitude? It's reflected in the thought, may all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. So we're going to meditate for 5 minutes in that way. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all sentient beings had happiness and the causes of happiness? I myself will bring all sentient beings happiness and the causes of happiness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all sentient beings were free of suffering and the causes of suffering? Sentient beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. I will free all sentient beings from suffering and the causes of suffering. We begin with the preliminary prayers, which are verse number 3, and then number 2. Dani kapsici, Dāgī chūnin gī pēsā nam gī drūlā pēnjī zāngī drūpā shō gō sāngī pē gō nē chā sā lō gō shō yī chū chū tī nā today I'm going to talk about tolerance and anger. So, in the Rinpoche is explaining a verse from Shantideva, and it, you know, these various objects, which representations of the Buddha, we hold them in high regard, great reverence. We make offerings to them of incense and flowers. We make prostrations to them. But we don't respect sentient beings. On the contrary, we get angry at sentient beings, we fight with them, we harm them, we don't practice tolerance with respect to them. Why is it that we respect the Buddhists so much, but we don't respect sentient beings? That we fight with them, we argue with them, we harm them. We don't practice tolerance with respect to them. In light of the fact that they're both equally as beneficial to ourselves, the benefit they give to us is exactly the same. So it's said that this is a great mistake, liking one and not liking the other, when in fact their benefiting is exactly the same. So why is that? What is it that we want? We want to be happy. We don't want suffering. And we're all exactly alike in that respect. Everybody wants happiness. Nobody wants to suffer. So in pursuing this end, the Buddhas and sentient beings are exactly the same, in the sense that they are the same by means of relying upon them. They both bring us happiness. They both can eliminate our suffering. By relying on them, they can bring their benefit to us exactly the same. Therefore, why is it we discriminate liking one and not liking the other? In by relying upon sentient beings, independence upon sentient beings, we can generate the causes of happiness. That is, in dependence upon sentient beings, we generate love, compassion, we practice generosity, we can develop tolerance. These are the causes of happiness. On the other hand, likewise, we can, in dependence upon sentient beings, we can eliminate the causes of suffering. Our practice of generosity depends upon sentient beings. Likewise, our practice of tolerance depends upon sentient beings. Therefore, in light of this, then we should cease harming sentient beings. We should generate a liking toward them and seek to benefit them, help them, that not to cause them harm or not to cause them suffering by, through, for example, killing or stealing from them. So we should try to cease anger and cultivate tolerance, because anger is an extremely great fault. It brings great harm. How do we actually go about generating anger? There are a variety of objects with respect to anger, but generally the way in which it's generated is that in terms of oneself, one thinks that this person previously brought me some harm, or they are presently harming me, or we think in the future they're going to harm me. Likewise, another cause would be in thinking that this individual has in the past harmed those I care about, has harmed my parents, my mother and father, has harmed my friends or my children, or they are presently harming them, or they will harm them in the future. So another possibility would be in terms of those we don't like, those we don't get along with, our enemies. And in this sense, we can generate anger toward those who benefit our enemies. We're thinking that this person in the past has benefited my enemy, or this person is presently helping or benefiting my enemy, or that this person in the future is going to help out my enemy. So in generating these various states, it's necessary to have both a cause and a condition. The cause one has already established within one's mind. So what has been described here are the conditions necessary, the cooperative conditions necessary to generate anger.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we go about bringing an end to anger? We have to see the faults of anger, the detriments of anger. If upon reflecting upon the faults of anger, then we will not engage in it. Just in general, when if we think about some type of work, and we think about if I do this act, then all these difficulties will arise, all these faults. And you think, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to, and you give it up. You don't make effort in that direction. So we have to recognize all the various faults connected with anger. So this is one line of reasoning that we take in ceasing our anger, in seeing the various difficulties that is the foundation of all our problems. But on the other hand, we try to see the benefits of cultivating tolerance, the advantage in reflecting upon the advantages of tolerance, the benefits. So, on the one hand, thinking about all of the detriments of and faults of anger, and then all on the other, thinking about the benefits of applying the antidote to anger, bringing about its cessation, that is tolerance. So, if we strongly reflect upon these two, then this has the ability. It has the potency to cease our anger, and this is the main method we can make use of. So what are the faults of anger? There are the faults we can directly see, and there are the faults we cannot directly see. So looking at the benefits we can directly see out of not being angry. So out of those times when we're not angry, our mind is happy. We are relaxed. Our facial appearance is very pleasant. We can sleep well. We can enjoy eating. So these are all when we don't have, are not experiencing anger. So, upon seeing with an enemy, or hearing some harsh words directed at us, or getting into a fight, then these act as the conditions. Where first we were very relaxed, and now and peaceful, and now due to these conditions of seeing an enemy having harsh words spoken out of us, all this is lost. Immediately, though previously we were relaxed, immediately we become distressed. And we are no longer relaxed, we are no longer happy, we can all understand that. And not being happy, previously we had a very pleasant facial expression, and now we get all red in the face. So, you know, our own mind becomes unhappy, we get this distorted facial expression on our face, and even when our friends see us, they don't like to be around us when they see us like that. And in such a state, when we eat food, the food has no good flavor. When we sleep, we can't sleep. So we can readily understand all this, and under this, and the influence of this anger, then we say hurtful things with our words. We think hurtful thoughts. We think about have harmful intentions. Think about getting into a fight, arguments. And our mind isn't happy. So these are the effects that we can directly see, that We get in, even with our friends, we can get in a fight, and with those we don't like, we can go on to, you know, we harm them and kill them. So when we reflect, we can reflect within our own experience about the various faults of anger. But there are also faults which are not readily understandable. What are these faults which we cannot directly see? If we were to become angry at an individual who had a very had many excellent qualities, had great compassion, had a great beneficial intention toward others, then getting angry at such an individual, the consequences of that would be that all of the various positive acts that we've done in the past, through our meditation, through practicing generosity, through benefiting others, types of acts which have as a result happiness, would in fact, due to getting angry at such a type of individual, the happy results would be completely destroyed. The resultant happiness of these types of acts would be destroyed. So the positive acts that we create, all of our skillful actions, all that all the benefit which has come about through practicing well, both in this life and in previous lives, then even just getting angry in the time of a finger snap, all the positive, happy results can all be lost.
Yeah.
So this is really a great fault. Through generating anger, generating anger brings about a suffering result. But on top of that, all of the difficulty that we've gone through, meditating, practicing generosity, practicing ethics, that is to say, all of these positive acts which normally have as a result happiness, then all of this result in happiness is lost. So there are these two faults, that anger brings as a result of suffering, and it destroys the result of happiness.
Adı ne demek?